This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Bloomberg Quick Takes Tim Stenovic from Bloomberg Radio.
So our next guest is a climate atmospheric scientist. She's been studying climate change, analyzing the data, the models. You may have even seen her TED Talk. She is the chief scientist for the nonprofit and global environmental group. It's the Nature Conservancy. And she notes that our future, it's in our hands, one where we can choose between mitigation, adaptation, and suffering. She is Catherine Hayhoe. She's got a new book out. It's entitled Saving Us, A Climate Scientist's Case for Hope and Healing in a Divided World. And she joins Ed Ludlow and me on the phone in Texas. Catherine, great to have you here with Ed and myself. Tell us about your new book.
Well, thank you for having me. My new book is about how the most important thing that any of us can do about this huge global issue of climate change is to use our voices to talk about it, because we're not. Only 14% of people ever talk about it. And if you don't talk about it in your company, your business, your organization, why would anybody understand how it's already affecting us today, including our bottom line, and how every single one of us can help to be part of the practical solutions that are already being implemented today as well?
As part of your book, you surveyed, you interviewed, you polled all people from all walks of life. What did you find out?
I found that most people are already very worried about climate change, even where I live here in Texas, the home of the oil and gas industry. But people don't know what they can do, and so because of that, we're not even talking about it. So that's why it's so important to break that silence and to talk, first of all, about how it's already affecting our bottom line. We're seeing a sea change. A lot of businesses are recognizing that climate action aligns with their goals, that the consumer wants to see what they're doing, and that the risks are already affecting us.
Hey, you know what?
There's already many businesses that are taking action, too. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you know what I was thinking, though, Catherine? It's interesting. Coming off of the pandemic, we are reminded so much about taking a vaccine isn't just about protecting yourself, but about protecting our community. Mm-hmm. We've had to think, you know, beyond ourselves in a big way. Climate change, that is the case, too. I understand that you stress not focusing on the facts, but on shared values and common ground. How do you expect we get there when there's so much infighting, certainly politically in this country, politically in other countries? How do we find that common ground, which is, you know, crucial to really our existence as human beings in the future?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly the question, because climate change is and has been for the last 10 years the most politicized issue in the U.S. So if we can come together on this, what else might we be able to fix? How do we do that? Start from the heart. Start from what really matters. So what matters to your business? What matters to you personally? What matters to your consumer base? What values do they have that are being affected by climate change today, because it's already here and now, and that climate solutions would genuinely and immediately and practically address? Often we can agree on climate solutions without even mentioning the words climate and change in sequence.
Catherine, let's give a specific example on this so we can help the audience understand. In California, where I am, the most visible debate that we have is the wildfires. You know, they seem to be hitting earlier every year with more severity. And there are many that say this is the most visible evidence of climate change we have in the state. How would you approach that issue? How should people discuss the wildfires here in California?
You're absolutely right. That's what we're seeing in California. In other places, we see hurricanes becoming more intense, flood risk increasing, and of course, deadly heat waves. I would approach it as a mom by talking about how some of my friends who live in California and Nevada, they couldn't even let their kids outside to play for not just days, but weeks at a time because the smoke was so bad. My cousin's house burned down. And that really happened. And we all know people have been affected. So I would start with something that we share. And then I would say, hey, did you know that one of the most important things we can do is talk about it? Because here in California, we are the number one producer of solar energy. And all the new homes that are being built are required to have solar panels, which makes us energy independent, as well as not contributing to all this carbon pollution that's causing the planet to heat up, making our wildfires worse. So tie the issue directly to our personal concerns and directly to solutions that are happening right in front of our eyes, not on the other side of the world.
You know, what's interesting, though, Ed does, I do, we talk with a lot of companies and institutions as well as investors. A lot of companies and institutions, Catherine, are putting out targets for being climate neutral and so on. A lot talk about sustainability. And yet the climate numbers show us we continue to go in the wrong direction. As Ed mentions, the fires out there on the West Coast, early hurricanes here on the East Coast, the flooding that we are seeing in so many different places also around the world. I mean, is it too late? You track the data. I got to go back to the data for a moment. Is it too late?
Oh, yes. I do track the data. And the way I look at it is this. It is too late to avoid all of the impacts because some of them are right here today. The ones you referred to, we're seeing them here and now. It's sort of as if we've already been smoking for years and even decades, and we have some impaired breathing. We have some spots on our lungs. But we don't have emphysema, we don't have lung cancer, and we're not dead. So when is the time to make a change? Right now. Because I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, as a scientist who studies the future and who studies the impact our choices make today, that our future is still in our hands. And mm-hmm. what is at stake mm-hmm. is not the planet itself. What is at stake is our civilization as we know it. We still have the chance to save ourselves. And so that's why I called my book Saving Us.
But Catherine, very quickly, remind us, why is this less confrontational approach better than the facts and the data?
Well, facts are important. I mean, obviously, they explain the way the world works. But we scientists have been sharing facts for decades. And today, much of the debate in the public sphere centers over, is it warming or not? How much is humans? How much is not? And we know the answers to these things. We've known that it is real. We've known that it's human caused. We've known the risks are serious since scientists warned the U.S. president in 1965. So rather than getting stuck on the facts, we need to understand the real problem. Nobody thinks it matters to them personally, and nobody knows what to do about it.
Catherine, just got about 30 seconds left here. Are you banking on a younger generation who, I know my 18-year-old keeps reminding us the bad stuff we've done for the environment and promises change. Is it the younger generation that really moves the needle on this? And just quickly.
They would, but we don't have time to wait for them. We have to join them too. And again, it's not about the environment. It is literally about us.
Existence. Listen, we got to leave it there. And certainly another thing to think about on what's been a jam-packed news day and thoughtful day. Catherine Hayhoe, her new book, Saving Us, A Climate Scientist's Case for Hope and Healing in a Divided World, joining us on the phone from Texas.